Christmas. Here we are once again. And as Peter just said, Christmas is special for me as well. And just this past Thursday at Home Group, we were reminiscing. In fact, the question was posed, what was either your favorite memory? There's two things. Oh, the favorite gift or memory. And so I shared two things. When I was growing up, I started off in a family of 8 children. And we would always set up our Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. And my dad would bring the tree in, and he had a box with this pipe that was screwed on the top of the box, and he had to shave the base of the tree to fit in there. And we made the popcorn and cranberry strings, and we're all sitting there with needles and thread, and we got popcorn all over the floor, and we also every once in a while made the paper chains and put those on, and they did what they call popcorn balls. I think they were caramel popcorn balls, and they stuck them in the tree and all this other stuff. Now, the tinsel was very important, right? One strand at a time. See, so you girls know, I can see they're all going, yeah, that's right. So that was very memorable to me. And what was the second thing that I wanted to share about that? Oh, yeah, then my family got bigger because my mom had passed away, my dad remarried, and we went from 8 to 14 children. And so now it was a little different for Christmas. Some of those traditions had stopped. I think we started putting up the tree the week of Christmas and not Christmas Eve because, you know, mom and dad's got a lot of stuff to do with a lot of kids. You don't want to do all that on just one evening and try to get it all done, right? And but anyway, the memory there was my mom and dad gave some wisdom to us kids. Because if I only had $10, how can I buy enough gifts for all of my siblings? You know, maybe get them a piece of bubble gum or something like that and stick it in their stocking. But they decided to let us pick a name out of a hat. And then we would buy just for one of our siblings. And then, of course, we got something for mom and dad. And my memory was I generally, because I didn't have any money, because I wasn't working, I usually made things or built things or did some things for my siblings. So, but then as I was preparing this message, and I think I knew where I wanted to go, but then the Lord reminded me of something even more special than that. And that happened when we began the Kids Zone outreach in Kingston. There came a time where we introduced the spontaneous Christmas pageant. Now, that spontaneous Christian pageant we learned from Paul and Colleen Kremple. They used to do it at home every Christmas morning, and they would just have all these weird costumes, and people would just put them on, and they would just read the narrative, and everybody would just act the way they want to act to show off Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the three wise men and stuff like that. So we started doing that at Kids Zone, and boy, that was such a special time. I mean, because everybody, the adults, the children, were getting involved, and it was just fun. We were laughing, but yet something very profound was being spoken. And we just heard about all those profound things that Donnie just expressed in about 5 minutes. All those profound things that why Jesus came and what was the purpose for that. And I realized the difference between what I was doing as a child and what I was doing for Kids Zone. And the difference was when I was younger, I was just parroting what Christmas was. I knew the story of Jesus and Mary and all that stuff, and we celebrate every year. But yet, my parents never really went over the Christmas story with me. We just learned it because I went to Catholic school, and I just knew what the story was. But in Kids Zone, it was different. It was different because between those two time periods, Christmas came to me. Christmas came inside of me. And now what I was doing had such purpose. It was like everything we were doing had purpose. All the scriptures that we were reading had purpose because I understood what was being said. Because the Lord showed me that once He comes in to me, once we receive Him, He begins to enlighten us to the truth. I just wanted gifts for Christmas. I just wanted to go downstairs in the basement when I was a kid because my mom used to make Christmas cookies and she'd have them in these little boxes downstairs that she thought she was hiding from the kids. But I would go and take the top off and I'd take one or two out and I'd rearrange them as if they were just all new and I put it back, right? How many people did that, right? No way. Maybe that was the box for the kids and she knew they were going to go down there and eat them. But now it's not about that at all. It's about this child that came. And with that child comes a totally different family. A totally different family. So I want to read a couple of scriptures. Now don't get me wrong, I have an earthly family that I love dearly. You know, and for as big as my family is, God's family is bigger, much bigger, bigger than my family. And guess what? You guys are a part of it right here. Genesis, Matthew, no, wait a second, hold on a second. Yeah, this goes back to Genesis. God is speaking to Abraham. Genesis 15:4-6. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir." And he took him outside and he said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And then he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's the family that I'm now a part of. Matthew 12:46-49. While he, Jesus, was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you." But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward the disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." It's now not even about my family anymore. I love my family and I like to be with them. But with most of my family, we can't have the same understanding that we have sitting in this room. We just don't have it. And this is my heavenly family. This is my eternal family. I don't really know what's going to happen to the rest of my family. My desire and my prayers for them to come to the knowledge of Jesus. They've known the story. They went through the same things that I went through. They get the same Christmas cards every year that have all the scriptures on there that tell about Jesus. But all they need is the revelation. They just need the revelation that those Christmas cards are prophesying what has already come to pass. And it's prophesying what's going to come in the future. John 1:9-13, there was a true light coming into the world. It enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. But the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood and nor of the will of flesh, but of God, or the will of man, but of God. That's our family. We have a heavenly Father. We have brothers and sisters. And Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. And so now, let's go back to the Christmas story. And the Christmas story for me begins with Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah was the priest that was designated to go into the temple and to do his service there at the time of year. And he's in there and he has this encounter either with the angel or God himself. And he had been praying for his wife to become pregnant because she had been barren all of her life. She was past her years. And now all of a sudden, God decides to say, hey, your wife's going to have a baby. And you're going to name him John. And it said he doubted God. And so because of that, God zipped his lip. And he comes out, and we know the story. His wife becomes pregnant, and they have a baby called John. Let me just read a couple of verses there. This is in Luke chapter 1, verses 4 to 17. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then we know, several months into her pregnancy, Gabriel comes to this little girl, Mary, and says, you're going to have a baby. And she goes, how can I? I am not married. And she was betrothed, but she wasn't married. And so he tells her that the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her. And the child that comes forth will be the Son of God. Luke 1:26, 1:35-38. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren, is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, trying to think of the name of the movie. But there's a movie about the birth of Jesus. Fear, what's the title of that movie? The Nativity, yeah. And it's the first one where they portray what happens with Mary when they find out she's pregnant in a community, because the law said that if she was unfaithful in her physical relationship with a man, she was to be stoned to death. So can you imagine what was spinning through this little girl's head, that she was going to have a baby without having a relationship with a man? How can you wrap that around your head? That's just, we don't understand that. But yet she said, let it be done according to your will. There was something in Mary that was willing to go through that process. And they really portray a really good thing, and then having to deal with her husband Joseph and how he dealt with it. And he wanted to put her away gracefully. He wanted to put her away, whatever that means. But then the angel Gabriel comes and speaks to Joseph and says, take Mary to be your wife, because the child that she'll be carrying is of God. And so I was just thinking about this whole scenario. Here was this family that was just going about their business, everyday life, just going da-da-da-da-da, you know, Zachariah, Elizabeth, they were just going about, when am I going to have a baby? She never has a baby. She's past that time. And Mary herself is just preparing to get married. She's engaged to this guy. And then all of a sudden, these things begin to happen around them. And why is that? Because Christmas was coming. Christmas was coming. And it doesn't come in the way that we would plan it, right? To think about Elizabeth, when she meets with Mary, I'll read that in a second, she gets filled with the Holy Spirit. The scriptures before that says that John was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. And then the husband, Zachariah, when he finally gets loosed from his talking and the baby's born, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And Mary obviously was filled with the Spirit of God because she was carrying this baby. And the term Don used, God is invade. He was invading the earth. This whole family was being changed. Their traditions were totally being blown out of proportion. Like, what do we do now? You know, normally the son of a high priest, their sons become a priest. But he said, no, your son's going to be a prophet, and he's going to be wandering around the desert eating locust and honey for the rest of his life, and he's going to be a forerunner to proclaim the Messiah. He's not going to follow the tradition. Luke 1. 41-45, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say she spoke in a soft voice and said. It says she cried out in a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? She's yelling this. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she who's believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. She was had a word of knowledge. She was proclaiming a word of knowledge about this girl. They didn't even have a conversation. She just said, hi, Elizabeth, and then bam, she gets filled with the Spirit. She has a word of knowledge. Christmas had come. The baby was already there. Christ was already there. What a beautiful thing to know that when people are aborting babies. That's not the purpose of the message, but there was life in the womb. This was eternal life was in this womb. God himself in the belly of a woman. Amazing. And after Zacharias got his voice back, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. He's now prophesying to his son, this little baby. Verses 76 to 79. And your child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people the knowledge of salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from the high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So are we just celebrating Christmas when it's Christmas? If Christmas has come to you, if Christ has come to you, if you said, come, forgive me of my sins and come and change my life, it's Christmas every day. And what we're doing now is we're teaching the world that we're celebrating something that happened how many years ago. We're prophesying that this did happen. The prophetic is declaring the word of God, whether it's past, present, or future. So when we send Christmas cards, Vera and I specifically pick out cards. We have a bunch of different cards, but we pray for the people that give us cards, and we write specific notes in them because we want them to hear the message. I want to give them an indication that I know what I'm talking about. And not to be pride, but I know what this is. I know what it means that the Savior came. I know what it means that he also came to me. I've been born again. And so we should be just thankful. Just be thoughtful that Christmas is really not a day. It's here in our midst. He said, Jesus said, the kingdom is basically right in front of you. Revelation says, I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door, I will come into you. It says, I will come into you and make my abode. I'm pregnant like Mary. I mean, really, that's a reality. He is in me. I'm not having to bear the flesh of it and get a big belly. I just want us to live Christmas every day. Every day of the week. He'll never leave. He'll never forsake. And we know the story that comes after. I mean, what was he's coming to lay his life down. And he calls the same for us. As Christ laid down his life for me, I now lay down my life for others. But it said, for the joy set before him, he endured it. So yeah, the joy of Jesus is coming, salvation to the world. But what he had to go through is what we're going to go through and are going through. We're going through the process of being conformed into the likeness and image of the one that's in us. So if you're not living that, really, if you're not living a life of Christmas every day, and I'm not talking about having your lights on the tree for the whole year. That's not what I'm talking about. Or having to wear tinsel around your neck and just say, I'm celebrating Christmas every day, you know. That's, I mean, you could do that, but that might be a little strange. But some people do that, so I mean. But to live as if you're pregnant with Jesus. And he's in you. And out of you will come rivers of living water. Don't settle for the tradition anymore. Stop it. Yes, I'm doing it because I want my grandchildren, when they come, we have a little nativity under the tree. Because that's what it's all about. I like the tree. I like the smell of it. It looks cool. I like to decorate it. Vera says it looks good. It's fun. It's nice. It's great. But the reality in my heart and in our house is the reality that Christmas is there all the time. And we just want to tell those around us that this is real. This is real in my life. This is not a tradition. It's a story that was a real story. And it's affected me how many years later, and it's affecting many more people. And if you're not living that, if you've never received Jesus, ask him to come into your life. It's pretty simple. You need to confess your sins because that's why he came. If you can't confess your sins, if you think you're pretty good, someone has lied to you. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone, even Mary. Mary needed a Savior. She's not this one that people have raised her up to be this supernatural being. She's not. She was a little girl. And she needed that Savior, but she found favor in the eyes of God. He found favor in other people as well. But it's simple. You need to confess your sins and know that his death forgives you of those sins. And then confess him as Lord. Meaning he came, he died, and he rose again. It has to be all three. He came, he died, and he rose again. That's the gospel. And with that, you say, Lord, come. Come and live inside of me. I want Christmas today. I want Christmas the rest of my life. I want Christmas for eternity. It's that simple. It's that simple. Father, I just want to thank you again for what you've done in each of us in this room. None of us sought after you, Lord. We were doing our own thing. And you came and you knocked on the door of our heart. And if he's knocking on your door right now, open the door and say, Jesus, come in, I need you. Because without you, all the promises will not be for me. I will go to destruction. Lord, I don't want to go to destruction. I want to be with you. I want Christmas in my heart. Father, I pray for my family members who they're still doing the tradition. But yet their cards tell me something, Lord. Their cards tell me that they're still practicing this tradition of Christmas. And they send cards. They want to stay connected. They want to stay connected, Lord. That's why we send the cards, because we want to stay connected. And Lord, that's what you want. You don't want us to be separate from you. You took down the dividing wall and you reconciled us to yourself. And you want to adopt us into your family. Lord, I ask that you would do that for all of our family members. That you would open the eyes of their hearts so that they would know what is the hope of your calling. You're the one that's calling. You're the one that's knocking on the doors of their hearts. And Lord, as long as they have breath, it's not too late. Let us never give up. Let us never give up on our family, our friends, neighbors. We call upon you for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Come and impregnate us, Holy Spirit. I ask that in Jesus' name. Merry Christmas.